Good morning, everyone. George Watkins on this Tuesday. Lovely morning of the week. Wake up, wake up. It's time to do the will of God for another day. God bless you today. If you're new to our broadcast, thank you for tuning in. Stay around for a while. See what God may say to you and something you can take, as they say, to the bank. Well, it's early, and my face is just waking up, so we'll wake up together. Hallelujah. If you haven't subscribed, do so, so you'll know when we're back again. And also, on Facebook, friend me, like me, thumbs up, send a comment, share, all those things seem to be a good help. Amen. Well, I want to talk a little bit about are growing in the Lord. My title today is, So Far, This Is What I Know. And when I begin to remember that, it gives me courage, faith, and excitement to know that if I have had a developing growth over the course of my years, then I can look forward to an accelerated and extended growth in the days to come. Growth meaning both in character and spiritual prowess, authority, strength. Amen? Well, let's just take a snapshot of Paul. Look at Paul. Take a picture of Paul when he was stoning the Christians. All right. Now, here's what's very important about this is that if you can develop and grow, other people can too. Quite often, it's not uncommon. And I say that because I have been guilty of it myself. It's not uncommon for us to grow, develop, go forward, get rid of the past, you know, become a better person. And yet that one that we had trouble with, something that we were offended or they wounded us and we haven't seen them for 10 years. Often in our minds, we say they are just the same as they were then. Well, we know that's not true. They could either be just the same or worse, but they will be different. Now, if I will let that go and forgive it, give that to God. Give that to God. You'll watch. If we forgive, then God goes to work on them and begins to bring conviction and correction, a loving hand of change. If we don't forgive, then they are bound up in that, and we are bound up in that. And none of it is, when we use the term in Matthew 6, forgive us as we forgive our debtors. It's not just money, you know, a debt. It means if I hold someone in bondage, in my anger, my unforgiveness, my bitterness, and the memory, then I am held in that same grip of unforgiveness and bitterness and memory. So look at Paul when he was a killer. He was killing Christians. He stood with Philip. He held the coats of those who stoned Philip. That means he was the leader of the pack. He wasn't picking up stones. He had been elevated to, sergeant or captain. Well, sometime later, he comes into the church, and there's a fear. There's a hesitation. Oh, my, the killer's here. There's a verse in Corinthians, that is an amazing statement that Paul made. He said, I have done you no wrong. Now, here he's standing in front of a congregation or a group of people. Some of them he killed their parents. Some of them he killed their grandparents. And he tells them, I've done you no wrong. That's how complete Paul's transformation in his spirit and his mind and his emotions was. He could stand in a crowd of people that he had wounded deeply and tell them, I'm innocent. So, snapshot of Paul in prison, killing the people, and a snapshot of Paul on the road to Damascus when he's on the ground, he's hearing the words, why are you kicking against the goads, against the spear tip? That's Jesus speaking. Now look at that. And then a few days later, he's being healed in the house he went to stay in. 3 days later, he's been healed, transformed, physical eye healing and revelation. Then take a look at him in prison, the prison epistles. Those are the ones he wrote when he was in chains, and he's rejoicing. Paul and Silas in prison has been one of my favorite sermons over the years, especially in the young evangelistic days. Well, we could rattle the prison and the chains and dance all the way down the aisle when we was preaching that one. But he was a different man, wasn't he? Why? Because so far, that's what he knew. So far, that's what I know. So far, that's what you know. Okay. Revelation, insight, understanding. The Father's heart, communication, prayer, angels, men in white linen, cloud of witnesses. All of those things are mysteries until we have revelation. It was a mystery to us before we were born again. We didn't know Christ. Now, I got saved early, so some of this is a little skewed on me, but most often, in some cases, you had an anti-church attitude, an anger against Christians because of the enemy's, you know, bending your mind. Well, along comes the Holy Ghost, and some street preacher or track, or you went to an Easter service and God got a hold of you. And all of a sudden, boom, revelation comes and you love God. Now you're loving Jesus. Now you're a Jesus freak and you're bugging everybody about getting saved. Now, so far, that's what you knew. Now, years later, you're a mature woman or man, and you speak in tones of love and admiration to the Father because you spend time with him. You're not a teenager, spiritual teenager. That so far, that's what you know. Now, take that in mind then on this Tuesday morning broadcast to see if that might trigger something in our excitement and in our, you know, the pleasure of just walking with Christ. That little snapshot of the two disciples that had this stranger after the resurrection come in and walk with them. He said this, did not our hearts burn within us? Oh, they had lost their Christ, their Messiah, or they had lost Jesus, depending on the revelation they had. But something happened to where their heart began to burn. Why? Because the stranger walking with them was Jesus, but they didn't see it yet. And yet it was affecting them. Now, where are you now? What do you understand now? What are you hung up on now? What's the door that's stuck you can't get through financially, relational, spiritual, revelation? I tell you, on the other side of that stuck door is a world that will, it'll turn your crank. It will excite, it will blow your mind. All those terms, just don't grab what happens when all of a sudden God opens up the vista and you see the horizon extended ahead of you spiritually. So far, this is what I know now. But because I have matured and because I'm not the 7-year-old or the 14-year-old or the 17-year-old when I first went preaching, had 2 sermons or 3. All the sermons I had when I was 17, I left home, half of them were dads and half of them were Oral Roberts. And I preached them the best I could. That's all I knew. Now I don't. Now I have and the ability to hear from God. That gives me courage to know that tomorrow something's going to open up greater than I've ever seen. It's going to be something more wonderful and more riveting. Hallelujah. Well, I invite you on this adventure we're on. I invite you on this adventure. About 7-10 years ago, God opened up the angelic to me like I had never seen. Now, all my life I've had angels coming and going, not really perceiving. I knew they were there. I could sense. Sometimes people would see them as I'm ministering and preaching, standing, you know, working with me. And I would say, oh, well, that's good. I believe in it, but, you know, kooky. Not really, but, you know, I just, okay, good, good. Let's move on. Let's preach another sermon. About 8-10 years ago, God opened up the vista, opened up the horizon, and put me into a world that has certainly changed my outlook on a lot of things and my interaction with the supernatural, with the angelic, with the divine. Now, if that be true, and it is for me, then I have another vista to see, another vista to see. If you haven't caught on yet, there's no end to Revelation. Think about it. There's no end to Revelation. I had a fella I knew years ago, was in our church. He was in school all of his life. I mean, literally. He'd go from one college to the next. He got grants or free money. I don't know how he did it. He was so educated, he was worthless. Actually didn't ever have a job. He just went to school. Well, I don't want to be that guy. I want to have ongoing revelation, but I want to be geared up and in sync with what God's doing. And I've noticed that he gives me what I need for the day. I don't need to have all the knowledge right now of my whole life and the whole world. And, you know, I know everything. No, I just need to walk out today and tomorrow, this week, have the wisdom, the understanding, have the strength and the faith. And he said he would do that for me, and he'll do it for you. Amen. Isn't that beautiful? Well, be encouraged. So far, we're doing good. So far, we're breathing air and still going forward. So far, we know Jesus never fails. He forgives all sin. We have eternal life. And he's coming someday, but it's none of your business. Oh, my goodness. The rapture business is a big one. And I believe in it, but I don't think anybody has a clue. I have been on both sides of the camp, and both sides of the camp are lovely people, and both sides of the camp have a little snapshot. It's like looking under the flap of a circus tent. You can see a little bit, but not everything. I told you that my theory is the reason Jesus doesn't know when he's coming back. You know that, don't you? Now, if Jesus doesn't know when he's coming back, why should we know any more than he knows? And you know why he doesn't know? God the Father is the only one, according to Scripture. Because God knows Jesus talks a lot. He rattles away with everything he knows he'll tell his friends, he said. Ask me, I'll tell you. So, he's coming back, but he called me to occupy and dominate and rule and shape and multiply, both in Genesis and in the book of Mark. So be encouraged. Tomorrow's going to be a greater, bigger, more wonderful day than today. And today's just started. Well, don't forget, if you haven't subscribed, we love to have you do that. It helps us. Also, share this with someone and give us a thumbs up, a like. Those likes on Facebook really seem to help, so thank you for that. Drop your name in the you know, the little thing down there, and I'll know you've been watching that. I open that up and say, whoa, look at there. They've been looking at me, getting something good out of it. And if God's nudging you to send me a gift, it's a great blessing. It helps us get down the road, and God will bless you for it many times over. Well, until tomorrow. Don't forget, God hasn't changed his mind about you. You're still the best thing going in his world. And he loves you so much, he gave Jesus to redeem you back. So, let's push forward. There's great days ahead.